And now, stay tuned for the Radio Playhouse.
This is Les Brown with the band Renown, swinging along with KMPX, FM 107 in San Francisco.
Love is gentle, faithful, swift, passionate, blind, and wondrous. All these are faces of love. In a moment, young Kate Wakefield, venturing into today's world of confusing freedoms, brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant.
This is your roving reporter, about to interview a nose.
How do I look?
You're not on TV, nose. This is for radio.
But how do I sound?
Pretty stuffy. Why don't you use four-way nasal spray?
Is four-way the little bread?
Not yet, nose.
Then why should I use it?
Because you can't buy faster decongestant relief than four-way nasal spray. And four-way can cost a lot less than the leading brand. A lot less. Here, just follow the directions.
Hey, that's a blast. You can interview me now.
Thanks, nose, but I just did.
If you take Tylenol instead of aspirin for headache, now you can get the exact same relief with Daytrill and get a dollar refund besides. Buy Daytrill in a 100 or 250 tablet size, and Bristol-Myers will refund you $1. Send name, address, and Daytrill carton to Daytrill, Box 836, Farmingdale, New York, 11735, and get a dollar back. Offer good on one bottle only. Expires April 30th, 1976. So try Daytrill now and get a dollar back.
Anybody around this studio club?
Sure. Who are you looking for? David Sloan.
Hello, Trudy. How are you?
Oh, David, this is great. You know, Kate's away.
Yeah, I know that.
And young Nancy Reed using a room while Kate's gone.
Yep, I know that, too. Livening things up.
Well, I don't know. Nancy's changed. She hasn't got that same bounce. Hey, why don't you wait around and see her?
I just might do that. Matter of fact, I stopped by hoping to see you.
Oh, am I flattered?
If I'd had your phone number or knew where you worked, I'd have called for it.
Yeah, sure. Well, I don't list my phone anymore, so I miss half my chances. But when you do list it in this town, you got troubles. You know, voices in the night. Here's my home number in my office. Be my guest.
My pleasure. Where can we talk?
Well, coffee shop.
Great.
Uh-huh, good. They got a coffee machine now. You pour your own. Oh, here we are.
An empty booth. Have a seat.
Oh, it's good to see you, David. You're not like the guys in this town.
Maybe that's my trouble.
Oh, so who needs it? Well, what do you want to know about Kate?
Trudy, you go right to the point.
I haven't got time to kid myself.
You don't have to. You're real. You know where Kate is right now?
She's in Jamaica.
Do you know where?
Not exactly.
Come on, Trudy. I know why she went. The late husband got mixed up in drugs down there, and she wants to find out how deep, or God knows what. I think she's crazy.
So do I. But he's haunted her. That much I can tell you.
Judy, you can talk to me. Kate's on the wrong track. Her friends had better hang together.
I think she had to do this, David.
You mean to prove herself?
Uh-huh.
Take command of her own life? She's been trying to do that ever since she got out from under the Wakefield wing. But she's sure doing it the hard way. What's she trying to find out down there?
Everything. I think she's trying to make sure that nobody can ever come sneaking up with something about Tom she doesn't know.
Who did that? Was it Stephen Wolf?
You know him, David?
My boss, Henry Slater, knows him. He's talked about him. The guy's a weirdo.
Well, he's convinced that Tom stashed a fortune in drugs down there and promised it to him.
Kate wouldn't fall for that.
Oh, I think she did.
God, I wish she'd talk to somebody.
Well, I don't think she knows how. Oh, she's still too uptight about the past. David, you don't think there's any truth in Stephen Wolf's story?
Trudy, it's one of the common phenomena of the human mind. Books have been written about it. A guy like Stephen Wolf goes to prison. He's been a success, and now he's nothing. He begins to imagine the quick kill, a fortune waiting somewhere, and he latches on to anything that sounds like it. He was Tom's lawyer, and Tom apparently said just enough to give him ideas.
Well, he had a recording of Tom's voice linking Kate to the whole thing.
That can be fake.
Then You don't believe it.
Trudy, Tom was a weak guy. But the one thing he wouldn't do is to tie Kate into that. Now, where exactly has she gone?
To some place called Glory Point, where she used to sail with her husband.
Now, what do you think she's going to do there?
Well, I don't think she knew, really. But maybe Kate had to do this to get over something.
Maybe you're right, Trudy. Maybe she had to.
Hey,
hello, Sparkplug. Come on.
Hey, why didn't you tell me? How long have you been here? Oh, why didn't you call? I'd have been... Oh, hi, Trudy. I guess I'm interrupting.
No, Nancy, I'm going. Thanks for the coffee, David.
Thank you, Trudy.
I'll be seeing you. You came to see Trudy, David?
I ran into her.
I guess I don't do much.
Relax. If you have time.
Oh, I've got time.
Yeah, I've got a little myself. How's it going?
Oh, fine. Fine, and you?
Okay.
That's good. How's Bellhaven?
Hasn't changed. You keep busy?
Yeah, I go to a lot of campus lectures. I told Dad I would. I don't know, maybe next year I'll go back to college and devote my life to study.
Oh, good idea.
You know, like they used to do, you know, when a girl was weary of the world, she'd go into a cell and study.
You got that straight, honey.
Don't call me honey.
Slipped out. Spark plug.
Well, that sounds more like you and me, doesn't it? That pipe smells good. I forgot.
Hey, look, I've got a little more time than I thought. How about dinner?
You're kidding.
No, I don't usually kid. Not about meals.
Sure, I know. I like to eat, too, and as long as Kate's not here.
Honey, why don't you get Kate out of your mind?
She's in your mind.
Yeah, once in a while.
Right now?
I wouldn't say so.
Look, you don't have to hide it. You can talk to me. I'll be a, what do you call it? A standby. You know, you can tell me how passionately you adore her if it wasn't for Tony Cushing getting in the way.
You don't need a meal. You need an audition. Come on, Sarah Bernhardt. Let's get out of here.
Where? The Blue Mouse? It's sort of dim.
So they won't see my gray hair?
Oh, you haven't any gray hair, David. I've counted. Except on your temples. And that's, cool.
Come on, Spark Plug. Let's go eat.
How do you get the most out of an antiperspirant? The answer may be using Ban Roll-On. Tests have shown that Ban Roll-On helps stop wetness better than most leading sprays. And Ban Roll-On costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6 ounce sprays. Averaging 2 seconds of spray per application, each side, each day, the longest lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays gives you 37 days of protection. On the average, Ban Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. Ban Roll-On. Why settle for less?
I sweep my floor and I still hear sugar underfoot. I hate that straw broom.
That's the kind of dirt straw brooms miss. But an Oceder angler broom would get it. Angler bristles are cut on an angle to keep more tips on the floor, and the tips are closer together. Oceder angler gets the dirt other brooms miss. What do you hear from your floor?
That you, Mrs. Redfield?
Yes. Oh, yes. What is it? What do you want, Dutch?
I just thought I saw someone down here on the point.
Well, I came out for a little walk after dinner. Such a beautiful night. You can almost touch the stars.
Well, you should tell somebody when you go out like this.
Well, I couldn't tell Mr. Pomeroy because he went out after dinner and Miss Ellen fell asleep in the living room.
Just the same, you should tell somebody.
Do you worry about all the Pomeroy's guests?
They don't have any.
With such a huge old house?
Mr. Pomeroy doesn't want people around. He lets the dogs out later.
Oh, well, they know I'm not an intruder.
Well, they are taught that everyone is an intruder.
Poor things.
You come from a different life. You don't know Glory Point.
Oh, I knew it once from the sea. My husband and I used to sail around it. He came here, you know.
Oh, I don't know anything about that.
No one seems to.
Mr. Pomeroy told me you want to go into Mercy Town tomorrow.
Oh, yes, I have an errand.
I'm to drive you.
Oh, well, thank you, Dutch, but that won't be necessary. I've made arrangements.
Well, Mr. Pomeroy gave me the order.
But I've already agreed to drive in with Francesca Vale. We have it all planned.
She's the daughter of a woman who works here.
Oh, yes, I know, Hannah Vale. She's a fine woman.
You do not understand life here, Mrs. Safety.
What don't I understand?
There's nothing for a young lady like you on Glory Point. Just old Miss Ellen and Mr. Pomeroy and me to manage the point. You'll have no company, just like tonight. You're lonesome, but that does not mean you make friends with the servants.
I make friends wherever I want, Mr. Morgan. Francesca is one of them.
Then I will tell you. If you go with Francesca tomorrow, she will not take you to Merseytown.
But she said she would.
Francesca is a strange girl. You must have noticed that.
She's a beautiful young girl, and I'm glad she has a job on her own.
She never keeps a job. She's stubborn and difficult. It's only because Mr. Pomeroy is generous that she can stay here. She makes trouble.
Well, I'll take a chance on that. I like her.
She makes up stories, Mrs. Wakefield. She'll have your head filled with nonsense.
Maybe I would like that, too. You know, I used to make up stories myself.
I shall be leaving for Merseytown at 8:30 tomorrow morning, if you change your mind.
Well, Dutch, it's all settled.
Remember, Francesca will not take you where you want to go.
Faces of Love features Morgan Fairchild as Kate Wakefield, Clement Fowler as Lewis Pomeroy, Rhina Rayburn as Ellen Pomeroy, Mason Adams as David Sloan, Allison Argo as Nancy Reed, Joan Shea as Trudy Keeper, Madeline Lee as Hannah Vale, and Nancy Pinkerton as Francesca Vale. Also appearing were Mary Jane Higby, Roger DeCoven, and Peter Mocklin. Produced by Alan Potter, directed by Dick Cox. Written by Margaret LeWorth. Associate producer Dale Stewart, music supervisor John Anthony, audio engineer Elvin Campbell, production assistant Nancy Schaefer, and brought to you by the Oceder Angler Broom. It gets the dirt other brooms miss. Your announcer is Mel Brandt. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
The time is 9:16. You're in tune with the Top 40s station, KNPX.
Presents the radio dramatization of William Makepeace Thackeray's classic novel, Vanity Fair, the story of the clever and charming adventuress, Becky Sharp. In a moment, our author, Mr. Thackeray. The Author's Studio is brought to you by Mr. Muscle, the oven cleaner that works the easy overnight way.
In my house, we've got a fully automatic kitchen. Me. And the worst job I've got to do is scrape and scrub that dirty oven.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Promises, promises.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night, and while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
That's a good idea.
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
You know, I've got a feeling that Mr. Muscle's going to be a good man to wake up to.
Julie, I haven't had this in years.
Mom, you're doing fine.
Oh, poor kid.
5 minutes, Claude.
Sit down. We're meeting your father for dinner. How do I look?
You always look pretty.
Thanks, sweetheart.
Especially your hair. Mom, the coffee's started.
Oh. Even when you can't hold up any longer, your hair can. With Final Net. Final Net is not an aerosol. There's no wasteful propellant. It's concentrated to hold your hair all day. Final Net. Holds up longer than you do.
Faithful listeners, and even those not so faithful,
I had in the morning post a letter protesting Miss Crawley's harsh treatment of Rawdon and Becky. Unless Miss Steverlet, the writer vows to be numbered among the unfaithful. In the exact same post, another communication warning that should Matilda Crawley forgive that pair and their sundry follies, that listener will depart Vanity Fair. Pray, what is a poor novelist to do? How am I to please all? I could, of course, take a weasel's way and let the old lady expire. I've not thought of that. Well, I shall consider it. Now, the Reverend Bute Crawley has been pried from his half-sister's sick chamber by a message that an unnamed gentleman awaits him below. The name of that gentleman is... Rawdon!
Uncle Bute?
What are you doing here?
I might ask you the same.
Sir, you are not welcome in this house.
Are you, sir?
Indeed I am.
By whose invitation? Not auntie's? You've pushed your way in here like a worm into an apple.
Mind your tongue, sir. Show respect for your elders and the Church of England.
Don't overboil, Uncle. I respect your collar, respect your age, but damned if I respect what you're doing.
Doing? What am I doing but taking care of my poor sister?
Telling lies to your poor sister.
Lies? I am a clergyman, sir. I told no lies. No, I'll not lose my temper. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city.
Splendid. Rule your spirit, then, whilst I pop upstairs to see Auntie Matilda.
No, by the eternal, you cannot, sir.
Well, you'll stop me, then? Will you?
It's forbidden. Mrs. Bute left strictest orders. No one is to see Matilda except myself.
You take orders from Aunt Martha. I'm not obliged to. No use trying to stop me.
Matilda cast you out. She don't want to see me.
Does want to see me.
No.
And you jolly well know it. His wit on your face. Did I hear you say you don't tell falsehoods, Reverend Bute?
Well, I hear it. Oh, Rawdon, if you trample upon me and see Matilda, Mrs. Bute will... Oh, may God forgive me. It is hard enough to live with that woman without this. Oh, let me not be confounded. Neither let mine enemies triumph over me. Psalm 25.
Even I can quote scripture. You strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. By gad, Aunt Matilda does want to see me, but you prevent what is right because Mrs. Bute has you quivering like an aspen. Do you fear your wife, sir, more than you fear your God?
Oh, dear.
How can you... I say, turn around. See out the window who comes to the door.
Mrs. Bute. She'll stop you for me. It's Miss Shaw.
Mrs. Rawdon Crawley, if you please. You'll excuse me, Uncle?
Oh, you'll go to Matilda as well. Lord, Lord, deliver me from mine enemies and those who persecute me. Psalm 31.
The Reverend Bute is abandoned in the morning room where, one supposes, he will say his prayers. Ladies, gentlemen, especially my two disgruntled correspondents, we soon may know if Miss Crawley will forgive those two just inside the front door, clasped in each other's arms. Gentleman still quavers in the morning room. Giles has gone to the servants' quarters. Becky and Rawdon to the blue drawing room and closed the door.
Dad, how I missed you.
And I you. Oh, my dear, he's all well. What has happened? Tell me quickly what your auntie said.
Not has happened, not seen her. My angel, however did you know I was here?
Yes. Then your horse outside, and I was sure I had not adventured in.
Praise be, you came. Need your help to talk to auntie.
My love, it's best, I think, you go alone to her first.
You do?
I do.
I don't know what to say. Yes, do. Already said it.
Oh, but you said you had to... you've rehearsed.
No, talked with Miss Briggs. Said I love auntie, would even without her blasted money. Briggs said say that.
Briggs is right. Oh, Rawdon, please. At this exact moment, Mrs. Bute, lightly as in physics, asking Mrs. Rickard wretched questions about my past.
She'll tell nothing? You're certain?
She vowed she not. Took our money to stay silent. So £60, my darling.
60?
Never mind. Sir Pitt gave me 200.
I see.
And kissed me when I left.
What?
No, 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 not your father, Mrs. Rochester.
Oh.
Is it not the cream of the jest that Mrs. Bute is there and we here, that she will fail and we will win? Will we?
Briggs thinks yes. She has given no laudanum to Auntie. She's more herself, Briggs says, clearer in her fuddled mind.
More herself could mean her rancorous disposition. We never can reckon on her mood.
Dare we chance it?
Yes, 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 yes. And not dawdle about down here. The hour grows older. Now, I'll go up with you, listen at the door, and not go inside until it seems the very most perfect time.
When the devil will that be?
Oh, we'll not know till it comes. Now, are you ready?
No. Need to stay in my stomach.
Captain, compose yourself. I have high good hopes everything will be put right.
How do I begin with Auntie? How? I'll be like Uncle Aspen. Uncle Bute.
Do not! Go in. Do not dissemble. Speak at once what Miss Briggs told you to say.
What was it?
Oh, darling. Auntie, I have but one thing to say. I love you. I would love you without your fortune.
Damn it all, I would.
Oh, there. Speak like that. He'll believe you if you do. Now, come. Ready?
Ready.
And all the while, no, I am outside. And we are one in heart. Briggs, why on earth do you knock? What nonsense!
Not Briggs.
Bute. You're not to enter, Bute. I don't want you here and I'll not have you here.
Not Bute.
What? Is it? Oh, come in. Come in. Rawdon. Oh, how are you? I sometimes start right in my head. Is it truly you?
Yes, Aunt Matilda. Rawdon.
My naughty, naughty nephew. Oh, how I've wanted... No, I'm very angry with you.
Auntie, I've but one thing to say. I love you and would even without your damned fortune. The jolly times we've had, you and I, what's that to do with money? Don't deny I like money, like what it buys, what kind of an ass wouldn't like it. But how can you do this and believe it? Not the rotten lies Mrs. Bute fills you with. I'd care for you, even didn't you ever threaten a bit, and that's flat, and that's all I have to say. You don't believe me.
I want so to believe you.
Then damn it all, do.
Mrs. Bute, she says...
The devil take what she says. Listen to what I say, not to her confounded lies. Auntie?
Oh, we did have jolly times.
And we'll again, by Jove, we will. Won't we?
Becky, have you no word to say to me of Becky Sharp?
No.
No. No, Miss Crawley. Becky Sharp must speak for herself.
And on the morrow, faithful and unfaithful listeners, we shall hear her speak. From now until then and after, I am your faithful servant, William Makepeace Thackeray. Final Mist, the non-aerosol hair mist that holds up longer than you do. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse. Kind memories, pleasant experiences. KNPX.
This is Dan Gatto of FH Daily Motor Company in Oakland, inviting you to join us Saturday, February 28th, for a big warehouse clearance sale. We're overstocked with nearly 200 new and demonstrator models. 75 and 76 Chevrolet Vegas, Mazda, Chevettes, and Novas. All cars displayed at our High Street warehouse, two blocks below the Nimitz Freeway. Sale prices will be posted with special tags. Compare savings for yourself. There's a new 75 Mazda 2+2. Dealer suggested retail price, $5,708. We're reducing this car to an unbelievable $4,875 plus tax and license. A total discount of $835, and it's loaded with extras. This is typical of the bargains you'll find at the FH Daily Warehouse Sale. One day only, on Saturday, rain or shine. Come early for the best selection and drive home a bargain from FH Daily Motor Company. Main showroom, 4117 East 14th Street, warehouse at 450 High Street in Oakland.
That's right, Dan. That's a tremendous bargain this Saturday, friends. Be sure to get over there. 4117 East 14th Street in Oakland, or just two blocks below the Nimitz Freeway at 450 High Street. FH Daily. San Francisco Bay Area weather, variable cloudiness, a chance of showers at times. We have the sun breaking through some of the clouds here in downtown San Francisco at the moment. The highs today should be in the 50s to low 60s for most of the San Francisco Bay region. Expected high today for San Francisco, 59 degrees. Same for Oakland and Berkeley and the East Bay. Low at night, about 48 degrees. The chance of rain, 40% today, tonight, and Friday. Variable cloudiness with a chance of showers is the forecast for the Bay region. The time is now 9:30.
Well, Father Hines here, in love with the Bay Area, and KMPX FM 107 in San Francisco.
It's not nice to eavesdrop, but it's fun. So let's check in on the comedy of errors at the Baxter. On the little things in life, brought to you by Daytrill, the new non-aspirin pain reliever from Bristol Myers.
This is what aerosol hairspray sounds like. This is what finalness sounds like. The big difference in the way they sound is the big difference in the way they work. Finalnet is not an aerosol. It's concentrated to give you a great long-lasting hold. There are no wasteful propellants. That makes it economical, too. 8 ounces of Finalnet go as far as 24 ounces of aerosol hairspray. You get a great hold at a great price. Finalnet, the first sensible alternative to aerosol hairspray.
Do you think all antiperspirants are basically the same? Well, Ban Roll-On antiperspirants may just change your mind. Take effectiveness, for instance. Tests have shown that Ban Roll-On antiperspirant will actually help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Make your own test soon. Pick up a bottle of Ban Roll-On, and you may discover what we've shown in tests. Ban Roll-On antiperspirant. Proof that not all antiperspirants are created equal.
Well, then for breakfast, Evie, I just had half a great cup.
Now, look, if we're going to play bridge, let's play bridge and bid.
And a cup of tea. One club, and then for lunch.
Two diamonds, Evie.
I don't like grapefruit for breakfast. I have it just before I go to bed, Tuesdays. My trouble is I love sweet things, and I miss cakes and pies and cookies and candy.
What are you doing, Brad?
I'm not doing anything.
No, I mean, what are you bidding?
Oh, I was listening to the girls. Wondering what it was like to have to diet. Boy, I can't put on weight.
Oh, people like you, Fred, that never gain a pound.
He doesn't. Fred eats anything and everything. He can just stuff himself day after day, and he still weighs the same. Oh, it's so maddening. It's something to do with metabolism, I guess.
I've only been on this strict diet for 4 days, and I've lost nothing. Of course, it gives a list of what you can eat in unlimited quantities, things like horseradish, mustard, sour pickles.
Now, the trouble with dining is
that the trouble with playing bridge with two women is that they have to jabber every single minute.
Oh, I'm sorry, dear. When you're on a diet, that's all you can think about.
Well, now, look, are we going to play bridge or discuss food?
Okay, okay. I'm bidding three hearts.
What time? Is it time to call her Maggie yet?
Oh, hey, yes. Darn near. What time did you tell her?
8 o'clock, Sheriff. I bet she's so excited. I said we'd have you two over here playing bridge so she could say hello to her.
Oh, that's wonderful. But she's still in the hospital?
Yes, but I think she's going home this weekend.
Oh, good.
Or rather, she'll be staying with a cousin. Mm-hmm. She still can't walk by herself too well. What'd you bid, Fred?
Three hearts. I think it's amazing she can walk at all with a broken leg. I broke mine once. I was in a cast for 6 weeks.
Oh, I remember.
Aunt Maggie hasn't been in a cast at all. They just put a pin in.
It's 3 minutes to 8. We'd better make the phone call before we finish this hand. Now, look, it's long distance.
I know.
To Montana.
We won't talk forever. Don't worry.
No, no. Fred and I'll just say hello. That's all. We won't run up your bill.
No, I didn't mean that.
No, he means me.
No, I mean Aunt Maggie. She forgets it's long distance and babbles on and on and on.
I'll get it and finish the bidding anyhow. I'm saying three spades.
Okay, I'm saying four hearts. How about you, Evie?
Well, let's see. You know, let's see.
Oh, hello, Peg.
Oh, Maynard. How nice. Come on in. It's Maynard.
I meant to interrupt you.
No, you're not interrupting. No, come on in. Heck, you couldn't have arrived at a better time. We're just going to put through a call to Montana, to Aunt Maggie. Here, let me take your coat.
How are you, Maynard? Haven't seen much of you since Aunt Maggie left, huh?
Well, I've been busy doing nothing.
Evie and Fred are here, too. They're going to say hello to Aunt Maggie also, so you can too, Maynard.
Oh, fine. I'd love to.
Hi, Maynard. Peg and I've been trying to diet, but it looks as though you're the one who's been losing the weight.
Well, as a matter of fact, I have lost some weight. I haven't been trying to. Cooking for myself gets pretty boring. I think Maggie spoiled me when she was here. She was always having me over for dinner.
Oh, we love having you.
Or she'd bring me down some casserole, a pot roast, or a cake, and some cookies.
It's no fun really being a bachelor. Maynard, you need a good cook.
What time is it?
2 minutes to 8. You better wait until right on the dot. Aunt Maggie doesn't have a phone in her hospital room, so she'll be out at the fourth floor desk waiting for just the right time.
Yeah, I have the phone number so I can dial it directly.
Before you call, I want to ask you something, which actually is why I'm here. Isn't Maggie coming back?
Coming back where? Here?
Well, yes. I thought she went back to Montana to rent her house.
Yeah, that's right. She did. Then she fell and broke her leg.
Well, I know, but I thought she was planning to come back here.
Well, she is. We're making plans to fix over the upstairs of the garage into an apartment.
Well, I know. That's my fault, but I had a letter from her today, and... Well, I don't know. It sort of sounded as though she were not coming back.
Why?
Well, what she said?
Well, I don't know. Just the tone of the letter sounded as though she was staying in Montana.
Oh, no. I think you misunderstood it, Maynard. You suppose Aunt Maggie thinks we don't want her?
Why would she think that?
Well, you were always making remarks because she did your crossword puzzle every night.
Oh, Aunt Maggie knows I love her, for Pete's sake.
Well, when we talk to her tonight, we better make sure she knows that we want her here. Nothing else. We need her here. We're taking a trip this year, you know. We hope she'd look after the house. And
a trip? Where are you going?
Well, that's nothing definite. Let's not get into that. Hey, it's just 8 o'clock now. We'll put the call through.
Yes, all right. Evie, you'll get Maynard some coffee.
Please. Oh, sure.
Fred, will you go and finish up the chocolate cake so it doesn't tempt those of us who are dieting?
Oh, with pleasure. And I'll get Maynard some, too. Come on, Maynard. And Evie, I'd like more coffee.
All right. Bob, now, by making the phone call, let everyone say hello, huh? And let Maynard talk to Aunt Maggie for a minute. And let's not be chintzy about the phone bill, all right?
Oh, wait a minute. When have I ever been chintzy about a phone bill? Just the same, though, don't let Aunt Maggie talk for an hour, okay?
All right. Oh, I certainly hope she's coming back.
If you take Tylenol instead of aspirin for headache, now you can get the exact same relief with Daytrill and get a dollar refund besides. Buy Daytrill in the 100 or 250 tablet size, and Bristol-Myers will refund you $1. Send name, address, and Daytrill carton to Daytrill, Box 836, Farmingdale, New York, 11735, and get a dollar back. Offer good on one bottle only. Expires April 30th, 1976. So try Daytrill now and get a dollar back.
I know we share everything, hon, but next time, could you keep your cold to yourself?
This was your cold day. You sneezed first.
You were sniffling before that. Think of the money we spend on nasal sprays.
That's why I bought four-way nasal spray today. It can cost a lot less than the leading brand, a lot less.
Yeah?
And you can't buy faster decongestant relief than four-way. Here, just follow the directions.
Hey, that's a blast.
I know. I bought four-way for me, too. And think how much we can save on four-way with all the colds you get.
You mean all the colds you give me?
What did you say, Aunt Maggie?
I said the other woman who is in the other bed, Mrs. Pell, just had her gallbladder out.
Oh, Aunt Maggie, please. I mean, it's fascinating to hear all about the other patients on your hospital floor. But here's someone who wants to say hello to you.
Oh.
Here's Evie from next door.
Oh, yes. Hello, Evie.
Hello, Aunt Maggie. How are you?
Oh, I'm just doing fine.
Oh, good.
Doctor comes in every day, and he said I'll be able to walk by myself in another 2 weeks.
Oh, that's wonderful. And we're looking forward to you being back here.
Yes. Well, I hope to come back someday, too. Is Fred there?
Oh, yes, he's right here, and he wants to say hello. Here's Fred.
Hello. Hello, Fred.
Hello, Aunt Maggie. Now you get back here real soon, because I'm going to take you dancing, even with a broken leg, okay?
I think your Edie might object to that.
Well, we won't tell her. I think it's Maynard who might object.
Oh.
And here he is. He just dropped in tonight to Bob and Peg.
Oh.
You want to talk to Maynard?
Oh, my. Well, I should say. Hello, Maynard.
Hello, Maggie.
Oh, just a minute. Aunt Maggie?
Yes?
Fred and Evie and Bob and I were playing bridge. So we'll finish this hand and give you and Maynard a little privacy, all right?
My goodness. I'm sure Maynard and I have nothing to say that needs privacy.
Well, just the same. Here he is, Aunt Maggie. Here's Maynard.
Oh, hello, Maggie.
Oh, Maynard. How wonderful to hear your voice.
Well, it's good to hear yours, Maggie. I got your letter today. What's all this about not being sure you're coming back?
Well, Maynard, I don't know. After all, this is my home. This is where I grew up. And somehow, where your roots are.
Well, you can always put down new roots, Maggie.
Oh, not at my age, Maynard. I love Peg and Bob, but they do have their own life to live. And even if I had an apartment over their garage, I'd still be interfering in their daily life.
You're not planning to come back, Maggie?
Well, not really. One has to have something to come back to, Maynard.
Well, what about me? Can't you come back to me, Maggie? Maggie? Are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Maynard.
Maggie, what would you say to getting married?
Married? Oh, Maynard, I'm no spring chicken.
Well, I'm an old rooster, Maggie, and I sort of need a pretty hen to keep the coop clean and throw out the chicken feed.
Maynard, you and your jokes.
Oh, it's no joke, Maggie. I'm flying out to Montana next week to bring you home. Home to the chicken coop.
Maynard, no. I can't even walk very well yet.
Well, Maggie, chickens have wings. We may not fly too far, but we'll make it, dear. We'll make it. Goodbye. I'll be in Montana on Monday. Goodbye, dear.
Maynard, did I hear you say goodbye? Did you hang up? I was going to talk to you, Maggie, again. Did you hang up?
Yes.
Maynard, are you all right? Your face is just white.
Hey, when you get back in here, it's your play. Fred has just trumped Evie's ace. What are you going to do?
Come here, Bob. I think Maynard is ill. Maynard, what is it?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm not sure I meant to say that.
What?
My wife has only been dead for a year. I don't know. Just the thought that Maggie wasn't coming back.
You proposed to her. You proposed to her, Maggie. What did she say?
I don't know. I don't think she said anything. I just hung up.
What's the matter? I doubled your 6-heart bid and you just walked
out. Oh, honey, forget. I think I've got a 2-heart bid that Maggie and Maynard are going to make. Listen.
What do you mean? Hey, Maynard, you look terrible. What is it?
Do we have a bottle of champagne? Let's open it and celebrate.
You're on a diet, no alcohol. And what's the occasion, Maynard?
I asked Maggie to marry me.
And she hasn't said yes, but she will. I know she will. Oh, Evie will have a spring wedding. What will I wear? What will we wear?
What will I wear? Well, we'll both be dieting and be so thin by then.
Well,
we
can wear anything.
Well, congratulations, Maynard. I never realized that my Aunt Maggie meant so much to you. Fred,
yeah.
Get Maynard a drink. Anything.
Right. Coming right up, Maynard.
Honestly, honey, isn't it exciting? The new year has started out so marvelously. Oh, Maynard, a new wonderful life is opening up for you. If Aunt Maggie says yes. Oh, Maynard, just think.
Leave him alone, will you? The poor man is thinking.
Created by Peg Lynch has been brought to you by 4-Way Nasal Spray. Gives you the fastest decongestant release possible.
This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
You're listening to the great standards of the 1930s and 40s on KMPX. To have and to hold. To have and to hold. The story of the traditional vows, the new morality, and the people caught in the conflict between them. Brought to you by Daytrill, the new non-aspirin pain reliever from Bristol-Myers. If you take Tylenol instead of aspirin for headache, now you can get the exact same relief with Daytrill and get a dollar refund besides. Buy Daytrill in the 100 or 250 tablet size, and Bristol-Myers will refund you $1. Send name, address, and Daytrill carton to Daytrill, Box 836, Farmingdale, New York, 11735. And get a dollar back. Offer good on one bottle only. Expires April 30th, 1976. So try Daytrill now and get a dollar back.
If I had a nickel for every minute I spent in a dirty oven, scraping and scrubbing, oh, I'd be living in Fort Knox.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Oh, come on.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night, and while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
Really?
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
Well, Mr. Muscle really sounds like a good man to wake up to.
Are you in a great rush, Emily?
No, not today.
Just some routine shopping.
Then let's sneak an extra cup of coffee.
Oh, your coffee?
My coffee. I have a new blend and I grind it fresh.
My, you're getting domestic, Angela. I thought you were a firm believer in instant.
Oh, well, it was time for a change.
It is good. You go to all this trouble just for yourself?
You don't think I'm worth it?
Oh, of course I do. It's just that it's not like you, that's all.
Is there a new man in your life who can't stand instant coffee?
Oh, come on, Em.
I'm just asking.
That's what sisters are for.
What's our first stop?
Well, the nursery, I think. I want to order some spring plants.
Well, isn't it early?
Well, I want to make sure we have them.
Speaking of gardens, have you seen our favorite green thumb lately?
Oh, Caroline?
No, she's pretty busy with the plans for the children's clinic.
I'm glad Joe's finally accepted.
And I think she's finally convinced Robert that Kurt should be the project organizer.
Well, that must have taken some arguing.
Well, anyway, Kurt and Lynn are on their way back from Aspen.
Robert will have Lynn home again.
In a way, he still treats her like a little girl.
I don't know exactly. I suppose when his first wife died, they only had each other. Lynn was, what, 16?
Some people get too much, others not enough.
What do you mean?
Oh, I was thinking of us. When Mom and Dad died. There we were with no parents at all.
Yes, we could have used a doting father and mother then, couldn't we?
Yes, but we managed.
Look what happened to Liz.
Would have been better if Robert had gotten remarried sooner.
Oh, Annie, he loved Margaret so much.
I know, but surely Margaret would have wanted Lynn to grow up and be independent of her father.
But Robert didn't meet Caroline until 5 years later, wasn't
he? Yes, but five crucial years in a child's growth.
You ready to go?
Angela,
Have you ever heard of a hospice?
No.
What is it?
Well, it's an organization that concerns itself with terminally ill people. Their problems, the problems their families face while they're sick, and after they're gone.
Oh,
I think I'm going to see if they have a branch here in Chicago. Emily, do you think you want to ring me?
Yes, I do.
Marsh, it's not Emily's physical condition I'm worried about right now.
Well, what is it?
Well, she's got to investigate this death therapy thing, you know, the hospice organization.
Yes, well, is she going ahead with it?
Well, I'm afraid it means she's giving up.
Jason, she's not confined to bed.
Well, she's afraid she will be. Every time she has a physical symptom now, she She thinks she's getting worse.
Well, the tumor has grown.
But not enough to... But
she'll keep up her will to live, Jason.
Marsh, I'm going to try to keep her from doing it. I think it's a mistake.
No. I don't think you have to worry about it. First of all, the hospice organization doesn't have a branch in the Chicago area. And secondly, the physician in charge has to make the referral.
Well, that takes care of that part of it. But the fact that Emily is looking in that direction is not good.
Well, I could talk to her about it.
Well, between the two of us, maybe we can convince her she doesn't need anything like that, Marsh. And with Angela... By the way, she's looking a whole lot better, isn't she?
Oh, you think so?
Well, don't you? And she stopped avoiding me.
She has? Well, that's good.
Yeah. You know, Marsh, I couldn't figure it out. I still can't. Why the sudden aloofness on her part? It wasn't like the Angela I knew.
Well, the only explanation is that she's concerned about Emily.
Yeah, I suppose so. But in a way, it doesn't make sense.
What do you mean?
Well, at first, when we got Emily's diagnosis, Angela and I were even closer because of our concern for Emily. And then suddenly, the coolness. And now, with no change in Emily's condition, everything is back to normal with Angela and me.
Well, when you put it that way, Jason, it is a puzzle.
Well, there may be some other explanation. But I really don't care.
Does, Mrs. Foster, with a spouse's great view of the lake. Of course, you'll have the use of the balcony during the summer and the breeze off Lake Michigan.
It's more than a breeze right now.
Oh. Shall we go inside?
Yes.
Oh, it is a beautiful apartment. We have a lot of professional people in the building.
My husband should be here very soon.
Of course. Would you like to inspect the kitchen? Everything is stainless steel, as you can see.
Ginger?
Oh, yes. Hello, dear. This is Mrs. Johnson, the building agent.
Well, how do you do?
How do you do, Dr. Foster? Well, I leave you alone to talk. If there are any questions, you know where I am, and you can drop the keys at my office on the way out.
Ginger, what are we doing here?
Well, we don't have to take it, Marsh. I thought we could look at it.
Well, when did we decide to move?
The Sextons live here.
Oh.
Marsh, in his position on the board of Jefferson Hospital...
Look, Ginger, I know you think that's important, but even if it were, that's no reason why we should move next door to them.
If you just have an open mind about it.
I might have, if you wouldn't spring something like this on me.
I'm only thinking of you and Betsy.
Oh? And where does Betsy come in?
I thought when she got back from Coors, and since you don't want her to go away to a good school, I thought...
I see. You thought we should move to where there is a good school.
All the children in this building go to private school. The Sexton girl is transferring next semester. Look, Marsh, it's a lovely apartment. Now, why don't you look around before you decide?
No. No way, Ginger. Now, look, I promised Betsy she wouldn't have to go away to school, and we're not going to get around
that. But if we move...
Well, we're not moving so that you can get around a promise I made to her.
If you just look at the place, Marsh...
Are you coming?
Oh, you're being so unfair.
You are no authority on fairness, Ginger.
You're looking a little more relaxed, Marsh.
Well, that's easy when I'm with you.
It might not be such a bad idea, you know.
Uprooting Betsy?
Well, it could be a fresh start for all of you.
Angela, are you saying you expect me to stay married to Ginger?
It would be less complicated.
Is that your way of telling me you're content to just have an affair?
Oh, no, I didn't mean that.
So what choice is left?
Marsh, we do have to face reality.
You mean we should stop right now?
Oh, no. Not yet.
But you do expect this to end.
Marsh, I don't know what I mean.
Angela, are you so afraid to really have a full life of your own?
I don't think so. I hope not.
I mean, just today, Jason was saying how much better things were between the two of you.
He did?
Yes. Can I freshen your drink?
Yes, please.
Are you blaming yourself for breaking up my marriage?
Well, would you think of getting a divorce if we hadn't... if it weren't for me?
Yes, sooner or later. But loving you has given me even more of a reason. Here.
Marsh, it is too soon to know what to do.
Maybe for you, but not for me.
Then give me more time.
I don't have to, I guess.
Aren't you afraid of what it'll do to Betsy?
She'll be better off away from Ginger.
Oh, Marsh, you can't take a child away from her mother.
But she's not... she's not that good a mother.
And if you get a divorce and she stays with Ginger, Betsy won't even have you.
And to Hold has been brought to you by Mr. Muscle, the oven cleaner that works the easy overnight way. This program has come to you from the Radio Playhouse, a DCA Productions program.
Hi, this is Freddie Martin, and you are listening to the big band sounds of KMPX in San Francisco.